Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Laura. Sorry that took me so long to get started. I had to log out of my old account or my personal account and log back in here, and it was...
No worries. We're here, and nobody else is even here yet anyway. I did hear from, let's see, a couple more. Jill is coming. Jenny's coming. Deborah's going to get here a little late, probably. Cynthia. And Andrea's trying to make it because she did register. I don't know when she registered, but she did get the wrong date because she got last year's date. So, but the thing is that Rita Marie, I guess we are recording now, huh? It's now part of the package that I offer. And here's how I think it might be helpful to you with what you and I have been working on. And if you would be interested or open to it, I'd love to do a session with you. I mean, obviously you want to give them more information than just that about how it works and what would be involved in it, but how it could benefit them. And then ask them if they'd like to try it in a session, because here's how you think it could be of great benefit to them.
So, okay. So can I save more questions for later? Because as you're speaking, I'm having a ton of questions in my mind.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hold on to those questions, and we will come back to them for sure.
Okay. Got it. Yeah.
All right, Christina.
Hi, I'm Christina McMahon, and I took complex cases last year. And I have a practice, counseling and energy healing practice, and mainly I work with conscious singles on opening their hearts to love. So I work in the area of love and relationships, and I have a slew of new clients right now, usually with New Year's Eve, or New Year's intentions and Valentine's Day. That's my high season. So, yeah. Be back. I have some questions too, but should I save those for later?
Yeah, we'll come back to them, but I'm glad to know, and I'll just make a note because I want to make sure we get everybody who has cases to. So yeah, can we hear you if we can't see you? Can we?
Hi, Laura. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm actually sick in bed, but I wanted to join.
So. Oh, well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
We'll keep you tucked in.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's nice to see you all, and thanks for honoring not seeing me.
Yeah, sure. Anything you want to just touch in on about what might be useful for you tonight, even though you're kind of under the weather?
Yeah, and I think part of my under the weather is my sadness around the growing exposure to dementia and Alzheimer's. And I don't know, and the cruelties of all of that. And I don't know that there's anything to be done, but I just wanted to presence that.
I'm glad you did. And sometimes even just naming it and not being alone in it can be of a comfort. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so am I a co-host, Kimberly? Did you want to share anything before we, you're on mute still, before we do the review?
Oh, I'm just happy to be in the presence of some of my favorite people. It's nice to see you again, Christina and Thea. Lovely to have your presence with us. And one of my favorite things is helping people figure out how to talk to their clients. So I am happy to offer any ideas or support for any of you along with Laura tonight. So.
Great. We'll definitely bring you in on that, Kimberly. Okay, so I'm going to go to a screen share, and we're going to just do a quick review on the process. And so I know we have at times called this implementing subconscious cellular healing. Really, the system is transpersonal energy healing, but it uses the subconscious that affects the cellular level. So that's why we've kind of left some of that languaging in there. Okay, so let's go to how I'm going to call it transpersonal energy healing so it's not confusing. Transpersonal energy healing is different from other forms of therapy, coaching, and healing. It works with the energy system, which is the template for the whole person. It tracks dis-ease to its root cause. Root cause meaning in the subtle energy body, where it then upwells onto the physical level. And within the subtle energy body, are we recording now, Kimberly? Okay, great, thanks. And within the subtle energy body lives the psychology of our beliefs. And it accesses the clients and follows the client's inner wisdom, stimulates the natural self-correcting healing mechanism. So what's fascinating to me is these two things kind of go together. The client's inner wisdom will provide for them a belief that is more life-supporting than the limited beliefs that are married with our historical pathology stored in the subtle energy level. I know that was a big mouthful, and those of you who have done this work for a while probably get that, and even if you don't get it, it's okay. It'll continue to make sense on more levels as we go. It ignites an immune system response when we trigger the natural self-correcting healing mechanism. That's where you feel that sensation like that you sometimes feel with acupuncture, where the energy might be tingling or releasing in some parts of the body. And it evokes in the client and feelings of empowerment, confidence, joy, which is our true essential self. Okay, what is our practitioner's job? It boils down to these two very basic key root intentions over and over and over again. Help your client identify with their essential self. Help them identify with their essential self and explore what separates them from their essential self. And that's what we are really doing, because all of the wisdom and the natural self-correcting healing mechanism lives within their essential self. There's nothing we have to do or fix. What we have to do is get ourselves and our clients' beliefs out of the way of the functioning of their essential self. Trust the process. The biggest glitch is not trusting that this systematic process really works. And it happens through, one, our state of being, meaning relax into yourself, relax into your own essential self. The more relaxed into your essential self you are, the more that vibration, that frequency, that tuning fork frequency will be in the space between you. And the space isn't in physical space, it's in energy space. So even if you're long distance over Zoom or even on the phone, the energy consciousness knows no separation. You're right there. You are right there. Kimberly, did you want to toss something? You looked like you wanted to toss some comment in about that.
Oh, no, I was just adjusting in my seat.
Oh, okay. Feel free if you
need to.
Connecting. So after we're in our own essential self, our own state of being, then we make a connection with them. And that connection is, you could say, like a heart-to-heart connection. We want to simply be in a state of empathic understanding with our client. One of my challenges is, on occasion, doesn't show up very often, but it still does show up from time to time, is sometimes I'll get a client I don't like very much. I might love them, but I don't like their personality. I might find them irritating or annoying or frustrating. It becomes my job to really find out how to like them, how to love them, how to see past their personality traits, to love their essential self, because it's in there. It might be hidden, it might be buried underneath some annoying traits or characteristics. That's okay. Those are just defenses or learned behaviors, or my limitation could be also my limitation of not enjoying that part of them. So connecting heart to heart, then I've actually come to love this step, the not knowing. I love the not knowing. I actually just recently did a workshop in LA called The Power of Not Knowing, the Power of the Unknown. And this is where trusting the process becomes essential, because this is the stage where many of us go, oh my God, I don't know what to do right now. I don't know what to say right now. My client's crying. I don't know how to respond to that. Or my client just told me something really like important and I don't know what to say and I don't know what to do. This is where you just breathe and repeat. Breathe and repeat, because I have no clue what to do right now. And, you know, and I can't even think of a question sometimes. I'm just in this blank space. So I'll just dwell in silence. I'll dwell in the stillness and I'll let them have time to see what comes up. And then usually that buys me time to kind of resettle into my essential self, reconnect, and then out of that silence comes, upwells a knowing. Upwells a knowing of what to say or ask or do. Then when the energy starts to move, I track the energy. If the energy isn't in movement, if it's stuck, if it's a stillness, I just track that too. Well, it looks like you're sitting really still. Looks like you're really holding pretty tight in your system. What's that feel like? What are you noticing? And then that becomes the inquiring. I'm noticing that you're sitting really still, that you're really quiet. What's that like? Okay, this does not have to be rocket science to find a simple question. Okay, what, where, when, why practitioners get stuck, not trusting the process. This is very often due to a lack of development in a specific spiritual quality, ourselves. So I have a person that I do some volunteer work with once a week, and I love working with her because she irritates me. So she's my barometer. She's like, okay, how can I love this woman? What's going on for me? How can I, instead of in my mind, I'll think to myself when I pass her by in the hallway or something, I'll think to myself, oh God, here she is. She's going to pull at me. She's going to ask me. She's going to ask me all these annoying questions. So like my practice is changing it in my mind to, oh, there she is. How wonderful. I mean, I have to really consciously work hard at that, but that's what I'm doing. Okay, Christina, did you have a hand up?
Yeah, I just missed number 5 in the process from the last slide.
Okay, let's go back. Inquiring.
Inquiring, okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so my spiritual quality that I need to develop is maybe it's compassion, maybe it's tolerance, maybe it's humbleness. Some part of me really thinks I'm better than her. what part is that? That I have the right to judge her behavior as annoying. Maybe I'm just equally annoying, you know? So, okay. The 3-step process to work, I'm going to change this back to transpersonal energy healing. Step 1, listen and repeat with an attitude of curiosity and wonder. This is probably the most important right here, with an attitude of curiosity and wonder. If you don't get listen and repeat verbatim, it's okay. I was talking to Lynn Rose about this today. Is that as long as you promise not to tell this secret to the undergraduates, you guys are all graduates, that it's okay if you paraphrase a little bit. But the reason that I start with you learning it verbatim is because it's so easy to put our agenda and our spin and our interpretation on what our clients are saying. We don't hear them. So it's really important that we do try to be as accurate as we can, but equally important is that we have an attitude of curiosity and wonder about what they are sharing with us. Everything they share in a session is important. Nothing is inconsequential when it's in a session. It's a microcosm of their entire life, everything that comes out of their mouth in a session with you, in that 1-hour session with you. Step two is identify the subconscious belief you are listening for if-then statements, should-not statements, and always-never statements. You might not always get the subconscious belief wrapped in that language, but boy, I'll tell you, it so often boils down to that. You will hear, and well, if only he would just, you know, pick up after himself, then I wouldn't be so upset. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, we're on the yellow brick road to a core belief. Oh, so if he picked up after himself, then you wouldn't be so upset. So just keep following that train down the track. And if he doesn't pick up after himself and you are upset, then what? Then what? Then what? We just keep following that train. And step three is to track and reflect gestures, physical gestures, especially the ones that come out spontaneously, right? Subconsciously, spontaneously, and where and how they lead us to emotion and to sensation. Ultimately to sensation. So usually gestures will take us next to emotion, but underneath emotion lives sensation. More subtle than emotion is sensation. And this is the magic of where the magic starts to happen. When we go from emotion to sensation, so underneath emotion, you know, what's it like? Okay, so I see the tears in your, I see the tears, you know, happening in you, and I hear about the grief. Where does that live? Where do those tears, where they are coming from in your body? Where do they live in your body? Where's the sadness live in your body? Oh, it's in my gut, or it's in my chest, or it's in my wherever. Okay, let's go into your chest. What's it feel like in there? It's tight. Okay, tell me about the tightness. Well, it feels like, you know, somebody is squeezing me. Okay, so let's follow the squeeze. Let yourself be squeezed. And this is also very different from many energy healing trainings. The healer will go, oh, let me help you release that. Let me open that up for you. Let me unwind that for you. No. Go in the direction the energy naturally wants to go. If it's squeezing you, let it squeeze. Follow it all the way to its root. When we do that, as we do that, it takes us deeper and deeper and deeper into the very core of where the trauma or the held energy really lives. And this is oftentimes where resistance and fear will start to show up in your client. I can't go there. That's too scary. And this is where I usually tell them, I'm right there with you. It's okay. You're safe to feel this now. Nothing dangerous is happening. If you're willing, let's follow it all the way in. And this is where the ahas usually live. When we follow it in and the body, the system starts to unwind, the energy can really start to move. And if the energy, what I sometimes call, or up-ledger sometimes calls, an energy cyst will just burst open. And this flood of energy will start to move through their system. And when that happens, they get tremendous ahas, realizations. Oh my God, I remembered, and it's brought me back to when I was 3 years old, and I can't believe this happened. And the energy is in. Okay, so if you can't do all of that yet, if you're still, you know, that's a little too much, just use the magic three questions. Just keep relying on those. What's here now? What's your breath like now? Where do you feel this in your body? Okay. And create trust, make real contact. And you do that by staying relaxed and centered, by matching the client's energy and communication style. And we talked about that in class, right? So if they are somebody who's an aggressive personality pattern type, then you might want to come and be a little bit more present. if they're really laid back, kind of, you know, holding their energy back or holding it in or down, then we want to be somewhat resonant with them so that we don't have to mirror them exactly, but we want to be enough resonant that they feel understood, that they feel comfortable with us. As we do that, as we co-regulate, as Kimberly loves to call it, and I love that term too, as we co-regulate with them, then being the bigger tuning fork, you can keep sort of regrouping, recentering, coming more into a grounded, stable place, and they will come with you. Don't worry if you don't understand everything I'm saying just yet. It's okay. Combine compassionate acceptance with your reflection back to their goal, to their presenting complaint. So let's say they have this big unwinding and now they remember when they were 3 years old and something happened to them. That's all well and good, but they might have started out talking to you about how in their adult, you know, real day-to-day life, they're yelling at their kids uncontrollably. So now what we want to do is, you know, this is really interesting how when you were 3 years old and your dad scared you to death when he, you know, jumped out at you and yelled at you and, you know, this energy block, you know, formed in your throat and blah, blah, blah. And now you just released it. And we started out our session talking about how uncontrollable it is for you when you yell at your kids. And that's all you have to do is reincorporate the initial topic and they'll go, Oh my God, you're right. I get it. I didn't match up any like great insights for them. I just reincorporated their initial statement and they got to put the pieces together. And it's so much better even if you in your own mind know what the synaptic connection is for them, it's so much better if you withhold your brilliance and let them be brilliant. And so often when I do that, they tell me something way more insightful or deeper or more nuanced than I could ever tell them because they know themselves better than anybody can. How could I presume otherwise? Making sense so far? Okay. Then we want to reflect back both the gift and the wound and then use the three magic questions when we need to. Okay, so we're just reviewing reason, will, and emotion. Reason, if your client is more of an avoidant type, remember that their gift is also serenity. So we want to be able to point out, you know, and lean into the gifts of their essential self. The will centers, the wound is aggression, and the gift is leadership. The emotion centers, the wound is submission, and the gift is loving, being loving. Okay. So these are just little personality clues that will help you identify or relate to your client to know I think they call it in some of the relationship books, and Christina, you'd probably know better than I would, but they call it, you know, what's that person's love language? What's the love language that they use with their partner? So we want to find the love language or the style of languaging that your clients use. So the person who's more of an emotion type, they're going to use love language that is more about feeling. If they are a will type, they're going to be much more direct. They're gonna feel trust with you if you're direct with them, if you're straightforward with them, if you stay away from touchy-feely stuff and do more concrete. If you're a touchy-feely emotion person and you do touchy-feely language with them, they're gonna be very mistrustful, especially in the beginning. And the reason type, you just gotta give me the rules. You just got to tell me what's going to happen. Give me the steps. Give me the structure, and I will feel safe with you. But if you get on a session with him and you get, let's just unfold and see what happens, you're going to be like, oh, this person's going to rip me off. They don't know what they're doing. Is this making sense now? Getting the idea of this? Okay. Notice your primary personality energy pattern. And that's kind of what we were talking about with reason, will, and emotion. But again, the leaving pattern is avoiding confrontation. The merging pattern is they're going to come to you with issues around probably codependency. So this is very classic for the merging pattern. I'm going to be here with issues of codependency, taking emotional responsibility for someone else. With the endurer, they're going to be about not admitting my mistakes. I have a client who I'll say, well, have you talked to your boyfriend about that? No, are you kidding? I can't bring that up. I'm not going to do that. Then he'll have the upper hand. I was like, okay, this is not about a power play. This is about a relationship, but that will be terrifying to them to, admit mistakes. Too scary. The aggressive pattern is a need to prove myself. And they are the ones who have to win. You know, that there's a lot of competitiveness about winning and proving that I'm the strong one, I'm the right one. And the rigid type is having the last word, very much about having the last word. I can't lose an argument, I have to have the last word. So those are just some generics, but these are ways in which in your initial client sessions, with especially, say, for example, with new clients, it's going to give you some great, clues as to what to watch for so that you can create a trusting relationship. So you know the love language that they use, or the straightforward language that they use, the direct language that they use, or the structure that they need. Okay. So again, we're back to create a healing environment, the process of being, connecting, not knowing, tracking, and inquiring. And then the art of inquiry, for just a few brief moments, we want to turn the client's comments into questions. It's so super easy. You actually don't have to think up questions. You just have to use their comments. So if they say to you, he really pissed me off. What happens for you when you feel pissed off? What happens in your body when you feel pissed off? Remember that what questions are always more effective, not always, but mostly more effective than why questions. Why questions take us into the client's intellect, into their head. What questions take them into their body? What's it like when you feel this? What happens when you say blah, blah, blah? Very, very simple, just turning their comments into questions. Use only the client's language as much as possible. So if your client says, the guy acted like he wanted to just slap me in the face. So we don't want to say, oh, the guy wanted to hit you in the face. We want to say, oh, the guy wanted to slap you in the face. So it's so important as much as possible to use their language, because they will have a different relationship with the word hit than they will with the word slap. And so often it'll surprise me. Oh, like he wanted to slap you in the face. Yeah, like he was just kidding around, like he wanted to slap me. I didn't say hit. So my clients are the ones who have taught me all these things that I'm sharing with you, by the way, from my mistakes that I've made with them. Highlight the positive, their essential self. Okay, so, I screwed that up. I shouldn't have done that. But let's talk about what you did do that worked. Let's take a minute to talk about those things and listen for the prescription. And this has to do with the core belief. And this is something that I still want to teach more about, and I don't have the time to go into right now. You don't provide the aha, we'll find it for themselves. Actually, we cannot provide an aha, because that would be antithetical to what an aha is. An aha comes from within us. It doesn't come from the practitioner being so brilliant that we give you our great insights. Okay. Prepare yourself for every session. Center yourself in your heart, in your essential self, and relax. Connect with your breath. Look with soft eye contact at your client. Focus on their essential self. I actually love doing that because it, you know, a client could be in a lot of emotional pain, and I'm just enjoying them so much because I'm so tuned into their essential self. So it's not that I'm not empathic for their pain, but there's something that I have found in my work with clients that I'm so in love with their essential self. I'm so much more identified with that it shifts their perspective because I'm so leaned into their essential self. And that's really what we want to help them do. Get the presenting complaint and listen for their prescription. I'll just quickly say this. So listen very closely to your client when you first start the session and you ask them, what brings you here? What are you looking for? What brings you here? What's going on? And they're going to say something like, I can't stand it when my kids are wound up and I blow up so easily, and I just want to, if I could just stay calm and centered and in my heart, I know I could be the kind of mother I want to be. Okay, so there's the prescription. She just said it. Stay calm and centered and in her heart. Now, I can't say to her in that moment, okay, here's your prescription. Stay calm and centered in your heart. But at some point in the session, invariably, after she's gone through her whole regression and the energy's been movement and all these sensations have happened, I can say to her, you know something? You said earlier that you just want to stay calm and centered in your heart. And when we drop in their presenting complaint at the right moment, they go, oh my God, that's exactly right. It's like they never even heard themselves say it. So it's very magical if you just listen right from the get-go for their presenting complaint. They're going to tell you their own prescription. This is a little bit nuanced, that piece. So don't worry if you don't hear it for a long time, eventually you're going to start to. Reflect their core issues. Keep the focus on their experience of the story, not the story itself. If they get too detailed in the story, then they're going to be in their head. Keep bringing them back to their experience of the story. Track and inquire about the energy, and then summarize the session in your as best you can, using as much of their language as possible. And then you ask them, after you summarize the session, what was that like to hear that summary? Okay, all of our history in utero, after birth, pre-verbal and beyond, all of our beliefs and our emotions have energetic frequencies and form and are stored within and around our auric field. We change the energy in the tissue to change the issue. So when we track the energy to its core and it starts to unwind, we're changing the energy in the tissue. And so now there's a felt experience about, oh my God, I actually can stay centered and calm and in my heart because now my system has unwound that tension that said I couldn't. So in the summary, we want to summarize the entire session using their words, highlight their aha moments. They'll probably have had some. Highlight their resilience. Reflect their state at the beginning. You know, when we first started today, you were really talking fast and you were pretty wound up. And I'm just noticing right now you look so calm and, you know, your face has opened up and, you know, you feel softer to me, you know. How did it feel to hear the summary? And then, of course, discuss follow-up, whatever you think they might need to integrate what happened. Maybe you're suggesting a treatment plan for them. Maybe you're already in the middle of a treatment plan. Maybe you're suggesting a piece of homework for them. I'd really love to see you meditate for 5 minutes on your heart center, you know. So this is all part of your summary. Okay, what's next? How did you grow? Okay, and then, yeah. So, all right, questions, comments on that summary before we go into client cases? Deborah's here, yay, and so is Angelica and Lynn, good. So comments, questions on any of that? Okay, if there's not, then we can go into cases. Yeah.
I just have a quick question. The listening for the presenting complaint, might that be more likely to happen during the consultation call? I usually do like a initial consultation call before a first session.
It could. So you might want to, you know, listen for it there. But I usually ask them again in my first session. You know, so let's come back to or review what we talked about a little bit in our consultation. I want to just get really clear on what you're looking for.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions before we go to cases? Okay, so we had a couple people who wanted to bring in cases. So Jill, did you want to go ahead and start us out?
Okay, this I just want to get your thoughts. I have a client that came in today. He's been with me for a long time, and his physical symptoms have increased, and his health has declined. It's declining, and he was just recently in the hospital and was given more of a, not a diagnosis, but here's the end picture kind of thing. And so, you know, I worked with him a little bit on that. He didn't go into any emotional state. And I can see that I probably didn't go or give him the opportunity to go deep enough. But anyway, he had multiple things going on. So when you're working with someone and there's multiple symptoms going on, I guess I'm answering my own question. Start where they're talking and just move from there, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I love opening with one of the questions. One of the questions I open often with is, how can I best support you today? Especially if it's somebody who's really got a lot of physical stuff going on. And I can get very surprised by what people say, because I'm going to think they're going to want one thing and they really want another, you know? So I would just try to keep bringing, you know, it's like, it's their time, they paid for. And, you know, do they need nutritional advice? Do they need emotional support? Do they need to just talk? Do they need to clarify what the doctor has told me, you know? So you could start with that. And sometimes you might get, I don't know what I need. And that's where you can just sort of intuitively, you know, say, well, I'm wondering, you've just gotten some pretty intense news from your doctors. I'm wondering how that's landing with you. Mm-hmm. Or you've just made a lot of symptoms increase. And what's that like?
Yeah. And I did recognize him, recognizing himself, how he had bought into that doomsday story that the doctor had given him. And so we reframed that into a better language so that he could think the way he wants to think.
Nice.
Instead of the discouragement and stuff that he had felt from not just what the doctor said, but, you know, it gets tricky too when they're getting so distracted by the symptoms themselves. So they lose themselves in the process of just trying to manage the symptoms, especially if there's more than one big one.
Is he in a lot of pain, physical pain?
He has some, he's got an enlarged heart and is holding fluid and has been you know, been told. Yeah. He's been, for the last 2 weeks, been told it's all about heart failure, you know, so he switched that around.
Do you know what his ejection fraction is by any chance?
He didn't say it today. Usually I work with him on that. And I don't know what it was today.
Yeah.
So when
somebody's in a really life challenging situation, or potentially life challenging situation, how old is he?
He's about 85.
Okay. I like to really help them connect to their essential self, maybe through guided meditation, to find and if they're in physical pain, to find that place that they can identify with that's really okay. This is just the body. It's right. Not who you are. Yeah. This is the house you're walking around, this is the car you're driving. Yeah. So you were driving a Maserati, maybe now you're driving a Volkswagen, okay? So it's okay. It's still a car. But the gas that we put in the car is what we really are, is that life force, right? So to keep helping those people identify with their essential self.
Yeah.
And you can do that through guided meditation if you want, or, you know, it can be very consoling for someone who's in a situation like that. And if you need to another time, you know, email me any questions about heart failure. It's something I know a little something about. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I did have him do, you know, some connecting with his body and breathing has been an issue, which is what threw him into the hospital this weekend.
Okay.
Anyway, it's helping him to be okay with the symptom that's happening at the moment.
Yeah.
To find himself. That's what I'm thinking.
It's a great opportunity. That's right. And shallow breathing works. It's okay. All right, Jill, thank you for that. Okay. Who was next with clients? Jenny.
So I would like to go back to that.
I'm sorry, Jenny, let me pause you. I didn't mean to cut off. Did anybody else want to chime in anything for Jill before we move on to Jenny? Anything to add or say? It sounds like you did some good work with him, Jill, that you're doing good work with him.
Yeah, he brought his wife today with him, and she's a gourmet chef. But uses more what I would consider unhealthy ingredients. Mm-hmm. And so there is that, and plus the dietitian piped in. And so as I gave him my recommendations, well, I didn't call it that. I said, if this were me, I would. Mm-hmm. That's how I framed that.
Good.
But I know he's got some conflict on what to do about that.
Yeah, I can relate. Yeah, Lynn Rose.
This is kind of off the cuff, but it's just what I do. Where is he? What state is he in?
We're in Minnesota.
Minnesota. Have they done 5G yet there?
I don't know. I wonder.
Because they found that interferes with oxygen in your lungs. So just one other thing to kind of explore too is the electronic fields around him.
Okay. Thanks, Lynn.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jill. Okay, Jenny. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's just still the same client. I would like to get some clarity.
Sure.
Yeah. So on Monday, I shared that she had some success after she started working with me and then fell off the wagon pretty quickly. And then everything has been on hold. This is kind of her words. Everything has been on hold for the past 2 to 3 months. No progress. So she has two sessions left. I'm just trying to decide how I should say or take her from this point. I'm losing interest, I have to admit it, because I think it's just, I'm such a person who's result driven. And if I don't, I saw some result quickly, but it just didn't sustain. And I tried everything to help her break through this whole emotional block, whatever it is there, but it just hasn't, I haven't had a lot of success with it. And also she expressed that she has the interest in working with a professional therapist who's specialized in addiction. I don't know how to take that. So I felt a little bit disappointed when I heard that, because I don't know whether that actually came from the place where she felt it hasn't, my work with her has not been effective, or I should take it in a different way. I don't know. And I think it's really hard for me to still encourage her to stay with me if she herself wants to switch to another practitioner. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to say in the next session. Should I just let her go and encourage her to switch to another practitioner, or I should do something else?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm hearing two pieces of this. One piece is the, I'm up against my own, you know, I'm my own stuff around it. I'm bored with my client. Okay.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So I would, my guess is that's a defense. And it's showing you right where some of your work probably still lives. Mm-hmm. So, especially because she's got some pretty activated issues going on right now. So that piece of your being bored with her would be a piece I would love to see you take to your healer therapist to work with individually. I'm a big believer in teams, support teams for clients to really get well. So rather than handing her off, and I think I mentioned this briefly the other day when we started to talk about it for just a few moments, I would encourage her, okay, if you want to bring a therapist into this step of your work, of our work together, I think it's a great idea. I would love to see you add that to the team of support that you're getting. So if she feels, and if you're confused about, you know, does she feel, or if she says, oh, I can't afford you both, if she brings that up from her side, then you can say, well, what's that like for you to be at this place where you want, where you're talking about bringing in a therapist and you can't afford both of us? Tell me about that, how you feel about that. But it's much better if that comes from her than from you saying, well, you know, maybe we should just end this and you should just go work with her. Because you might be shocked and surprised that how clients get very attached to us. And that attachment is part of the reparenting that we're providing for them. And part of the healing that we're providing for them. So it's really important that they have the option to go away from us rather than us go away from them, right? That's the individuation process. Just like those of you who have had kids grow up and leave the house and, you know, do the empty nest thing. We, you know, it's much healthier if they leave us than we go, get out.
You know, Laura, this is at the heart, at the core of my issue, just by hearing you.
Hmm.
I think I totally have this abandonment issue because of what happened when I was a child. So I have the tendency to get rid of people. Whenever I started sensing their they might be leaving me. I want to get rid of them first before they come to me and say, oh, you know, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's been bothering me so much, because I know this moment is coming. It's either me saying goodbye to her or she's saying that to me. So I would rather say that before she says it. Yeah. So that's kind of my pattern. I know that's my issue. Yeah. I think that's why that's so clear to me now. Yeah. Why it's bothering me.
Great. That's great. Mm-hmm. So guess what? She gets to be the one to be empowered here, not you.
But wouldn't that make any of us feel so bad?
You know. Well, you know, like you said, you have some abandonment stuff, so it's going to be vulnerable for you. And everybody, we've all got our wounds. You know, every therapist, every healer has their wounds. I mean, I feel hurt sometimes with my clients, and in the process, that's where I go to my own supervision. I got to work this out. This one hurt. This was an owie for me. You know, it's okay. You're human. But they're the client, they're the one paying, and you get to be the one in the professional role here.
Okay, or I could say, hey, you know what, maybe I should encourage her to work with a therapist, but I can continue to work with her on the nutrition part.
Why limit it? Why define it? Let her define it. Just let her know that you wanna be, you would love to continue to be part of her support team but let her bring it up from her side. If she's thinking about working with a therapist, that's great. Add a therapist to support this work we're doing, because believe me, most therapists are not going to do what you are doing with her.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, really. Really, 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 really.
In my younger years,
every time I moved, and I moved a lot, one of the first things I would do is go look for a therapist. I would have to go through 3, 4, 5 therapists to find one, at least. And oftentimes I didn't. There's a lot of bad therapy out there.
Yeah.
What you do really works. You'll just keep getting better at it. Don't worry about that. She may decide to leave you. That's fine. But you've done some really good work with her, and she's going to remember that.
Yes, I opened the door. I like the way you described it, for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't feel equipped for dealing with addiction. I don't know. It's, you know, I'm obviously not specialized.
Let her add that to her team of support. If she wants to drop off with you for a while, that's fine. You can say, yeah, let's continue to do the nutritional work, or check in with me in a month if you want. You know, I'd love to see how it's going. Let's see what's working, what isn't. Just stay a part of, just let it be clear that you want to continue to be a part of her support team. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And I have other questions regarding more kind of generic questions regarding, you know, just how to work with the existing long-term clients on bringing this energy healing part into the therapy. I haven't quite figured that out. I'm trying to come up with a structure. Like, should I just do one session focused on nutrition, the next session we focus on the emotional piece? Mm-hmm. Because I found if I address both of them, I just don't have enough time for within one session.
Mm-hmm. Kimberly, do you want to jump in on that, how you juggle that in your practice?
Yeah, one option is to not say anything or define the transpersonal energy healing and just help them implement new behaviors, right? So if they're not following through with the protocol or they're struggling with it, of course it's subconscious emotional energy stuff. But you don't have to name that necessarily. You can if you want, but an option might be for you, Jenny, to not name that specifically, but spend the session on the barriers that are keeping her or him from implementing the work and making the behavior change. So It might just be a way to get into the work without having to waste time defining it or explaining it. But it's partly what we do as nutrition coaches, right? Actually, yesterday with the FNC group, I did some training on this, right? We actually, part of being a health coach is not necessarily diagnosing or giving them protocol. It's really helping them make the behavior changes. So that is part of your role as the nutrition coach that she paid for, is helping them implement. So one option, there's other options, but one option that comes to my mind is just not define it, not name it, just say, hey, do we need to work a little bit on the implementation of this, and what are the barriers? And then go into the process. So I don't know how that's landing for you, but that's one option that comes to my mind for you.
Yeah, so the implementation part, you know, it's kind of like, okay, so what are we talking about? So for example, I designed the supplement protocol. It's so clear what to take with breakfast, you know, lunch and dinner, how much. Isn't that easy to implement? But if she just can't do it, so what kind of issue is that?
Why can't she? Right? You can use this technique to help her get to the root of why she's struggling to do something that might seem very easy on the outside. But if there's a defense underneath, or a fear, or an old trauma, or an unresolved thing, then you could help her with that, with this process.
Right. So we worked on that piece because obviously I identified the emotional problem here, but I just haven't had any success. She just can't do it. Just, you know, she would say, oh, I just forget, you know, all the time. Or, you know, I have trouble swallowing those pills. just any type of excuse, right?
So, Lynn, I see you, and we'll get to you in just a minute. I just wanted to respond to that. Any type of excuse. What I would do is have her look at the repercussions of, okay, so it's hard to swallow the pills. Tell me more about what's hard about it. Let's look closer at that, because there's some heavy repercussions for you when you don't swallow the pills. So it's really slowing down and breaking things down more, is what Kimberly's saying, what I'm also saying. Lynn, you're now nodding your head. Did you still want to jump in on anything more there with that?
I'll just jump in real quickly because I have somebody, I was like, do we have the same client? and that's exactly what I did is when she'd say, well, you know, and she was going like this, I'm like, oh, you're having this really hard time when you try to swallow and you can't swallow without, and she now can swallow her pills with just a bit of water. And she also couldn't make her own food. She had a hard time even going into the kitchen. And so like Kimberly and Laura were saying, it's like, tell me more, how does that feel? And a lot of deep old traumas came up. Traumas. She can now go in the kitchen and make something in a crock pot. Huge win. But it was just like they both were saying, it's like on your slide, you said, be curious. You're curious with them. Oh, tell me more. What's that? And so that's what worked for me.
Thank you, Lynn. And Jenny, and this is also where kind of coming back to some generics, like, you know, your reason type, right? Mm-hmm. So if this woman is a will type or an emotion type, you're going to probably need to meet them where they are and leave some of the structure that you're comfortable with. Well, here's the structure, just do it, you know. That's how you operate, and that works.
Oh, I am, yes.
Right? Yes. But it's not working for her, and it's okay to slow it down and break it down.
And okay. Don't be afraid to call them out on what you notice. I'm noticing you have resistance to every solution that we discuss. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to call that out with clients. And sometimes they're not necessarily real happy that I call them out on that first. Mm-hmm. But I learned to tolerate their discomfort in that. And then they learn to trust me more, because I am going to name what's showing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Okay. Yeah, All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you.
Okay, Christina, you had a client you wanted to jump in on.
Yeah, I just had a tough session the other day, and it was a first session with a new client. During our consult call, she said she recently discovered she's been in a state of grieving since her childhood. She lost one of her parents and never got support for that, and just recently lost her mother. And so she wanted to do healing around that, but mostly she's concerned about how it's been showing up in her relationship patterns, right? Because she wants to be in partnership. But then on the first call, she had recently been through something with someone, like a dating experience, and she was very caught up in the details of that story, trying to figure out what type she is. She's either will or reason. And I just could not. It was so hard. I kept trying to get her to slow down and go into the body, but she kept going back to the details of the story, and just, I could tell she just wanted to pull me in there and help her like puzzle it out at the cognitive level. And she's an executive type. She's very high level. She's like COO, you know, of a zoo. And so I don't know. I just didn't. And the other thing is, it was the first distance session I'd ever done where we weren't on video. She said she didn't have camera in her computer, so I couldn't track gestures. I couldn't see her. I felt very, I don't know. I felt a little disconnected, but I don't know. I didn't quite know how to handle it, how to not get caught up in the details with her.
And that was your first session with her?
Yes.
And you have more coming?
Well, I do a trial session and then we do a follow-up call, and then we talk about doing a series or a package.
Okay. So you might want to let her know that you'd like to work with her at least over Zoom going forward.
Yeah.
And that you feel that with the kind of, you know, things that she was discussing, that you just feel it'd be more effective for you to be able to do the work that
right.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's okay initially if she just needs to zoom through story and that's how mm-hmm. she wants to use her time, it's okay to let her unwind a bit.
Okay.
If that's how you need to establish trust, because the first step is establishing trust. So mm-hmm. you can't push her too hard until she knows and understands the process a bit more. You could also teach her, and you could, you know, you can let her know in a, maybe a and hopefully in a, at least in a live Zoom session, you could explain to her, you know, I work a little differently from traditional psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. And how I work is really much more around the energy of what's showing up for you that's keeping you in this dilemma. So I'm going to probably ask you from time to time to just pause for a minute and really stop and breathe with me.
I did that at the start of the session. I went over that in the consult call, and then I reminded her again at the start of the session. But I think it was just so far afield from anything she'd ever experienced before that she still wasn't getting it.
That's okay. It's going to take her a learning curve, especially if she's if she's a very verbal and intellectual. It's going to take her a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you can listen for are vocal cues and clues when there's a voice change or a state shift or she slows down. Then you can say, you know something, I want to stop you for a minute because I just noticed something shifted in your voice. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
She'll go, oh, it did? Really? Like she's mm-hmm. going to be startled that you really paid attention.
Okay.
And so you're going to and you don't have to do anything necessarily with it. You just let her know that you recognize that. Well, something just mm-hmm. happened there. I'm curious. Did you notice it? I noticed okay. something shifted for you.
Okay.
But you want to go with the real obvious to be like, if she does a big sigh or something, mm-hmm. wow, that was a sigh. What was that like? Mm-hmm. You just said mm-hmm. a lot. And then you did this big exhale. Did you notice
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what you said about it's okay to let her unwind the story a little bit, like what does that look like from a TSC perspective? Just let her talk for a while and then just reflect back or?
Yeah, I mean, just know from a TSC perspective for yourself as a practitioner, she's unwinding, mm-hmm. right? She's unwinding. She's going. Mm-hmm. I used to have a client that I would like for 35 minutes at least, nonstop. There was no way I was ever going to get, I just let her go.
Okay.
That's what she needed from me. She needed me to hold the space.
Okay.
You know, and then I would say, wow, that was a big download. Mm-hmm. How you doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
It's okay. Some people are wired that way, just letting them unwind. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Other quest, actually we're about out of time here. So what I want to do is I want to just share with all of you, we had some glitches with getting this new series sort of implemented into the administrative end of things, which is why this first session tonight is free, as you know, to maintain your listing on the Find a Practitioner page. This course is going to be required since you are now starting to get clients, some of you, from your listing, which is great. And it's half price for those of you who are on the list. And it's still a great price, even if you're not on the list. And I will get information to you soon, hopefully. We've got 3 months before the next class. So there's a lot of administrative staff changes happening right now at INE. So it's going to take a little while for them to find their stride. So please be patient with us to get this sort of tracked into the system. And in the meantime, Kimberly is having tomorrow night a webinar, and I hope you will all, do you want to tell them a little bit about the details of that? If you're not signed up for it, I'd love for you all to not miss that.
Yeah, I think all of you probably know about it since you're all, most of you are on Reed and Marie's mailing list. But I'm doing a webinar on basically stress and trauma and how it affects the immune system. And so I've had to work really hard to get it down to just a few slides because it's a humongous topic. I won't be able to cover a lot of, but I really want to touch in on some of the specifics of how trauma really shifts and changes and dysregulates the immune system. So that's tomorrow night at, 5:30 Central Time?
5:30 Central.
5:30 Central Time, and I can put the link to register in the chat there for anybody that wants to register for that.
Great. Okay, so let's just do quick closing remarks. Jill, do you want to start us out?
I just want to thank you for this class. And for the review, it's been really good for me to review the whole process. And I think I'm going to do a few things in my office to remind me of some of the very simple things. So,
good. You're doing good work. Just keep, like you said, keep consciously remembering what to implement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lynn DeBure.
As always, I'm just grateful for this because it brings things back into my mind and it gives me that food for thought as you talk, and it's like, oh, you know, and I write notes. Oh, this person, yeah, I could help them by saying this or doing this or whatever. And if you decide to ever do something more than quarterly, sign me up.
Well, I do have a small support group, and I need a minimum of 3. I've got 2 who are ready to go. So if that's something that you're interested in, any of you, it's $60 a session, and the minimum commitment is 6 sessions. We meet once a month. So if that's something that you'd like to do, let me know, or anybody else that's on the call here. And I try to wait till I find the right configuration, because oftentimes these groups go on for a very long time. We get very bonded and we go on for, and it's always limited to about 3 to 5 people. So it's very intimate. You get a lot of time in that hour. So just email me if that's something that you'd like to do, and I'll add you to the list, because we're ready to go, I think, with a small group. Okay.
Yeah.
Jenny. Okay, good. I'd love to have you.
So the recommendations and advice you guys give me, I find it very helpful. So I'm definitely gonna think about it a little more and apply it as much as I can to this client who's coming next week. So overall, I do find this energy healing work is just really, really helpful overall. Right.
That's great.
But obviously still so much for me to learn and practice. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. She's lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Christina.
Pretty much the same what everyone said. It's always nice to get a review, and I'm going to read my notes over before my next session. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Deborah.
Hi, everybody. It's nice to see all of you again. I came in late. I was on a trip. I'm in Nashville right now. So it's really nice to get some of that review for this. I presently don't have a client, but every time I fly or see people, I potentially might have a client. I'm going to be mentoring her to come over to United Airlines as a pilot. So, but she's in a nutrition and all kinds of things. And so, so potentially, you know, it's just as to, you know, cause I do a lot of my stuff actually pro bono nowadays. But it just keeps me in the coaching world. So that's a good thing.
Great. Thank you, Deborah. I'm so glad you made it with us.
Thank you.
Lynn Rose, closing remarks.
Again, me too. Getting a review and just creating, having all this integrate, you know, with what we do all the time, all the different tools that we have and integrating them to where they just feel part of what you do. And it's not so this, that, or, you know, divisional. So.
Yeah. Great. Glad you were here with us tonight.
Thank you.
Janet, closing remarks.
Did someone mention something about memory care or Alzheimer's?
Yes.
Starting. Okay. So if I've been through that with my mother. She died at 102, but when she was in her 80s, we first started with having that. So if you want to get in touch with me, every point on every slide has something that you can use for Alzheimer's work. And I
that was actually Thea, who is now off the call, but who brought that up. But that other people who would benefit from this too. And there will be a bunch of people listening to the replay of this as well. So thank you for that offer. That's really great.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Kimberly.
Oh, just happy to be here and be able to connect in and be of support to any way that I can. So thanks for including me.
Great. Thank you. Okay. So I just love seeing all of you and so great to be here. And stay in touch if there's anything you need. Feel free to let me know. Kimberly, if you can stay on for just a minute or actually we'll check in on the teacher's link. That's probably a better idea. But thank you, everybody, for being here. And I look forward to staying in touch. And hopefully I'll see you all on Kimberly's webinar tomorrow night.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.